Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Palestine isn't just a news headline. It's a reality millions of people live every day. Quds Day reminds us that this struggle isn't just about one land or one people. It's about justice for everyone. With all the challenges, from occupation to political pressure, many wonder, what's the real path forward? Can anything actually change? Let's have an open and honest conversation about what's happening, what resistance really mean, and how we can make a difference. Welcome everyone to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is your humble host, Sayyid Ali, and here I am with dear brothers in faith, dear brother Sayyid Zain. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Good to have you here. And dear brother Sheikh Danish, really good to have you here, brother.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start a conversation with dear brother Sheikh Danish. Quds Day turned the Palestinian cause from a regional or religious, let's say, issue into a global one, right? In what ways has this shift influenced international support for Palestine? And how can people around the world contribute to this cause, the cause of Palestine?
Yes, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So at the time when Imam Khomeini attributed the title of Quds Day to this global movement in solidarity with the people of Palestine, we can see that Camp David had happened in Egypt. And many thought that when Egypt has signed a peace treaty with the Israel or the Zionist entity, and when Syria and all the Arabs had lost to the Zionist regime in 1973's war, many people thought that this is now the end of the Palestine cause, and it will die off on its own over a period of time, because all the foreign supporters of this movement had signed peace treaties because of their own various reasons and weaknesses. But we see that at that particular point in time, the Iranian Revolution happens in 1979, and Imam Khomeini, even before the revolution, had spoken in support and solidarity with the Palestinians, and specifies a specific day in the holy month of Ramadan, the last Friday, which has its own sacredness in the Muslim community, and specifies that all the mu'mineen and all the believers, wherever they are in any part of the world, they need to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. And so this is an important call. And in Pakistan, where I come from, in different areas of the world today, the Quds Day is a symbol of resistance, is a symbol of solidarity, is a symbol of gathering together the Muslim forces. And even non-Muslim people come and participate in these marches for showing their solidarity with the Palestinian cause. And so this is a testament to the fact that the Palestinian issue is not just a Sunni issue or a Shia issue or even a religious issue, but it is a humanitarian issue which has the utmost importance for the people of the world.
Yeah.
And we saw this in the last war in Gaza as well, that the way that this genocide was committed by the Zionist entity showed to everyone who was till now unaware of the reality of this regime that this is an aggressive regime that believes only in hard force, that does not believe in peace and prosperity for everyone. It is a racial entity. It is a regime that believes in driving out a people from their land and only believes in rights for a certain people based on a specific definition of their nationhood or the victimization narrative that they have sold to the entire world. And so we can see that this genocide taught the entire humanity that either we are standing on the side of humanity or we are standing on the side of injustice and oppression. And many many people who are neutral also choose to stand with the Palestinian people.
Exactly. And I couldn't believe that so many people come out to just, you know, show their solidarity with Palestinians. Like some people, like, we couldn't believe that these people with this sort of, you know, appearance would come and even sing eulogy in the heart of the United States and the like Columbia University. It was unbelievable scenes for me. So, dear Sayed, some people believe Palestinians should accept the occupation and try to make the best of it. And they say this is the reality on the ground. While others argue that resistance is the only path forward. From your perspective, what do you think are the real life consequences of each approach? And looking back to the history, what lessons can we learn about what's worked and what hasn't?
So yes, these two approaches are there, and the Americans, the Israelis, they want the locals of the Palestinians to accept the first approach. Well, because that makes life easy for them. They don't have to fight people to kick them out. They just, you know, convince them and they go live somewhere else. But it's not a reasonable thing to do, right? Like, if you, I mean, just at a personal level, just because somebody likes my house, right, and they want to take over it, and they're willing to, you know, commit violence to take over it, I should just let go, leave my house, live somewhere else. Well, that's not right. I should try to fight back to some extent. Now, the Palestinian people, they are the natives of that land, right? Regardless of, you know, what these European Jews, most of them are European, try to say that, no, historically, it's our land, it was given to us. Well, you need proper proof for that, right? And you know, they're very European, right? And you know, they're coming over as a colonial state, trying to kick out the natives of that land and settle themselves on that land. That is what is happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then as Sheikh said as well, they try to put a narrative, put a spin on it that, you know, we were victimized. And sure, they were victimized. You know, the Holocaust and all these things. I'm not going to deny that, right? But that doesn't justify what they're doing right now. That doesn't justify them to come and kick a people out and kill them and, you know, the genocide that has been committed. So no reasonable person, no person who has a proper, you know, conscience would accept that people from a foreign land come, you know, take over the land, kick people out, and they just say that, no, you know, please come have my land and I'm going to go live somewhere else, right? Yeah. That's just not the answer. Plus, the refugees who have gone to different countries, well, they're also living in difficulties,
yes, right?
The millions of refugees, the Palestinian refugees that have been kicked out of their land over the, you know, the decades, it's not the case that they are in any kind of, you know, a very nice life either, right? So that is not the answer. Mm-hmm. The answer is then the only other thing that could be the answer, which is to resist, right? What do you do? A people, they want to come take over, and they're not, you know, treaties don't work with them. While they're talking about treaties, while they're trying to make treaties, you know, the Israeli side keeps taking more land because that's what they're interested in. That buys them time so that they can make more, you know, colonies, they can make more settlements, and the Palestinians will be forced to give over their land, right?
And recently I've heard that the Palestinians have been offered green card to move to the States. So what's your take,
you know,
on that?
Even if they're honest about that, which I don't think they are, right? Americans are, you know, they're kicking out the Mexicans, they're, you know, kicking out the illegal immigrants. They're not going to be happy with, you know, 2 million people from, almost 2 million people from Gaza coming and living in, you know, Texas or something like that. It's just, you know, it's just, he's just saying it. He doesn't mean it. But even if he did mean it, right, I would never accept it. Why should I leave my homeland? Because, you know, other people want to take over it and go and live somewhere else. It doesn't matter how nice that somewhere else is, right? I'm from this homeland. The Palestinians are from Palestine and they belong in Palestine as well, right? And no matter what is, you know, promised to them in return of it, it's their right to stay on that land. And as long as, you know, they are staying on that land, as long as they're resisting, right, which they should be doing, right, it's the responsibility of the rest of us to support them as well.
Thank you so much. Well said. Dear Sheikh Danish, resistance has been a cornerstone of the Palestinian struggle for so long. In today's world, with everything changing so quickly, what forms of resistance, whether military, economic, or political, do you think are most impactful? And how can these efforts be kept alive for, you know, and strong for long time and long run, possibly?
Yes. So basically, Palestinians have learned over a period of time that appeasing the Zionist entity hasn't worked for them.
Yeah.
And so even in the Great March of Return, where they would come to the borders of Gaza and ask for this apartheid regime to lift their ban on the arrival of basic necessities, food and other things that are rationed into the Gaza enclave, they came with a symbol of peace. They would fly kites. They would make movies of themselves going to the border crossing.
I remember. Was it like 2-3 years ago?
Yes, I think it was in 2019 that this was ongoing. And so
some people got shot.
Yes, and the Israeli soldiers from that side were so afraid of this that they started shooting people head on, and people filmed those scenes. And so we see that peace doesn't work or hasn't worked for the Palestinians, and a sign of weakness that is felt by the Zionist entity, it makes it more provocative, and they start to take more Palestinian land. And therefore, the only resistance that is understood by the Zionist entity is the military resistance. And of course, with that, the Palestinians have mobilized themselves and built bridges with different communities throughout the world. For example, we see that in Ireland, there's a very strong narrative of the Palestinian people that is accepted by the Irish people and
even
the politicians. And they cut off their relationships with the Zionist entity. And we see some of that in other European countries, but usually in the countries of the South, we see those people who are more oppressed by the colonial powers, they identify with the Palestinian cause and see this as an extension of colonialism.
Yeah.
And so the majority of the world and the people of the global South, they have gone through this experience of colonialism, and they identify that this is an extension of colonialism, and they identify with the Palestinian cause. And this is a very strong component of the resistance as well. This soft power, and we can see that in the passage of the law and declaring the Zionist entity as a terrorist entity committing genocide, at the forefront, we saw the countries like South Africa, who put up that case in the International Court of Justice and tried fighting that case and succeeded in nominating these people, the president and the prime minister. I think it was prime minister and the defense minister as terrorists or perpetrating genocide.
Yeah.
So we see these are important instances of global support for the movement. But we can say that if the Palestinian people stop resisting today, and even the ordinary people, we see that ordinary people are saying that we don't have any weapons, we don't have basic necessities of life, basic amenities, we don't have facilities like hospitals, education, but we are going to stay on our land. When the American president said that we are going to make Palestine and Gaza as a Riviera, these people said that no, after having suffered for 18 or 16 months of this genocide, the majority of the people are not willing to leave their land. This is a form of resistance.
Yeah.
And inshallah, with this resistance, God's help will definitely come, and it has come. We can say that the hearts of the Palestinian people are in the right place. And this, what we can say in Arabic, this aitilaf al-qulub, that this
closeness of hearts,
this this agreement of the Palestinian people, or this this decision of the Palestinian people, could not have been possible without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because for an entire people of 2 million population, in which you have women, you have children, they are suffering daily, they are being bombarded daily, but they are saying that we refuse to move out of our territory. The majority of them are saying this, and this is a complete symbol of resistance. And this couldn't have been possible without them. So global help is very important, but without the Palestinian people's own resistance, this would not have been possible.
Yes, I feel you. Thank you. Thank you so much, inshallah. Despite the devastation, history has shown that resilience and justice can prevail as long as there is faith, unity, and commitment to truth. Hope for a free Palestine remains alive. Thank you for listening, dear audience. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Allah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.